Welcome to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I'm Suzanne Redman. This week, I interviewed Tanya Jenny, who has a business providing editorial services, coaching, and art classes. She also spent 13 years working for a publishing company, acquiring and editing books. I actually pulled out some of the art books I have at the end of our interview, and I asked her, "Did you do this book? Did you do that book?" That was kind of fun, because she worked on so many. In fact, when I promoted her podcast interview on Instagram, a few artists commented that she did their books. So it got me looking at all my books. And just so you know, I've got a lot of books. I probably have about 100 books related to art and craft techniques and art business. So I thought you'd like to hear about some of my book recommendations and why I think you'd like them. On a side note, I've had a lot of books for a while, so they're not recent publications, but I've chosen the ones that I still think are relevant today or that offer some really great techniques. I'll start with the books that are business related. Now, because some of these books are 10 years old or so, they won't talk about things like marketing your business through Instagram or explain how to create an online class. Those things just didn't exist then. But they still can provide valuable information that will help you with your business. The first book is called The Savvy Crafter's Guide to Success by Sanja McCall. This book was published in 2008, but so much of it is relevant today. I'd say every single chapter offers some great advice. For example, in chapter 4, which she calls Get Ready, she takes you through the real beginnings of starting an art business. Now, can you start an art business before you get things done? Yes, of course. In fact, by selling through the internet rather than a store or art show, you can sell instantly. But how do you sell a lot? This chapter first talks about developing your image. Today, we'd call that your brand. It's all about getting noticed. You'll do that by creating a logo, deciding what you want to share on social media, and getting photos of your artwork out there. You'll also want to create a bio so that you're ready if someone asks for it when applying for a show or proposing an article or class. You'll also start accumulating contacts for a mailing list. All of these things you'll do when you get serious about selling your art. You're past the stage of selling it to friends and coworkers, and you're ready to grow your business. Once you really start making sales, there'll be a lot of business-related paperwork that will need to be done. She has a couple chapters devoted to that. And she talks about pricing your work, buying supplies wholesale, creating invoices, inventory lists, and keeping track of your income and expenses. There are so many apps that can help you with this, but going through the lists in her chapters will make sure that you haven't left anything important out. The next business book is Art Marketing 101 by Constance Smith. I know talking about business tasks can really make the true right brain artist's eyes glaze over, and I'm sorry about that, but you just can't avoid these things. You need to educate yourself so that you don't get in trouble down the line. Check out her chapter on legalities. She tells you just what should be put in a contract if you're giving your art to a gallery. You need to protect yourself, and you need to be sure that you and the gallerist agree on what is expected and, of course, what you'll be paid. There's also a great chapter on tax issues. And you may say, "But I have an accountant for all that." Well, yeah, I hope you do. But you need to know these things ahead of time so you're running things properly. You need to know to charge tax on your sales, for example, and you need to know how to keep track of that. You need to know what kind of backup your accountant will need at the end of the year to properly account for your income and expenses. I'd also advise you to check out the chapters on how to display art and how to set up an exhibit for your art. Even if you're selling your art through someone else's business, more times than you think, you'll be asked to help hang the art. That's just a reality, especially if you're utilizing non-traditional spaces like restaurants and coffee shops or city hall or office buildings. The next book is more about self-promotion. Have you ever heard of the book, I'd Rather Be in the Studio? It's by Allison Stanfield, and she's known on the internet as the Art Biz Coach. Check out her website, because she offers coaching and online classes. But if you like books, this should be in your home library. Her book has been updated, so make sure you get the newest version. She has chapters on building a portfolio, sending newsletters, and building your contact list. She's also included a section on using social media. She talks about blogs, but don't worry if you don't have what was considered a blog 5 or 10 years ago. Just whenever she talks about blog, think about it as stories. You may still have a section on your website that works like a blog, but you may use it to talk about past or upcoming events. You may use it to tell stories about your art, or you may use it to talk about techniques. But what if you don't have a blog? You may be telling stories on Instagram. Just think of it as the same thing. Your stories are probably a little shorter, though. The point is, get your stories out there and use your website and social media together. I like the last two chapters of her book the best. One is called Planning Your Attack on Paper. It talks about setting goals, creating a budget, creating marketing materials, and planning your promotions. You can find a million books and articles about making goals, so this is just one method. But whichever way, you just need to do it and hold yourself accountable. The last chapter is how to maintain momentum, and it talks about finding a business buddy. Now we would call that an accountability partner. It's easy to find a like-minded artist that you can talk over your ideas with through Facebook groups or Instagram friends. Don't go at your art business alone. Create your network of artist contacts just like you create your network of art buyers. Now I'd like to talk about some art books that will provide inspiration or give you some new techniques to try. Of course, this is all just according to me, so you may have other topics of books that I'm not even addressing. But I've got books on jewelry making, painting, paper crafts, and book arts, so I'm going to tell you about some of my favorites here. First, in the world of jewelry, I want to tell you about one that made a huge buzz when it came out. It's called Wrap, Stitch, Fold, and Rivet by Mary Hetmansperger. Her techniques, in my opinion, were revolutionary at the time. She was making cold connections, so you didn't need to know how to solder. And soldering has such a big setup with protecting the table from heat, using the messy flux. Cold connections were just so much easier. And she had some really cool ways to do it, like folding a sheet of metal around something or wrapping wire like a net to hold a bead or to make a pendant. She also didn't use a jeweler's saw to cut sheet metal, which can be very tricky to do. I was always known for breaking the saw blades when I sawed. I just didn't have a delicate touch. But she uses metal shears, and also she just uses a flathead screwdriver and hammers that to cut the metal. So much easier. She mixed metals like copper and silver and did unusual things like weaving with wire. Of course, everyone does that now, but she was unique then and she still is with her new designs. Now let's move on to the world of paint. I like abstracts, so I've got a few books like that. In episode 31, I interviewed artist Jody Ohl. Her book, Abstracts in Acrylic and Ink, is a great book that easily explains her techniques. It's filled with photos that take you step by step through a process. She also uses a lot of different materials and explains just how to use them. She explains surfaces, gel mediums, different ways you can create texture, and gives you some principles of design. I recommend you pick one section and follow the steps just like she suggests. Then, once you've done that, create another painting where you mix up the steps and use your own colors. Soon you'll be able to design your own paintings using your favorite techniques. The next painting book I'm recommending is Flora Boley's Brave Intuitive Painting. You may think that intuition just can't be taught, but she's figured out how to break it down into individual steps. It's no mistake that she's got the word brave in the title. Her process is to put a lot of paint, a lot of colors, and a lot of layers down on a canvas. She suggests you rotate the canvas and look at it from different angles. At some point, it's time to look at your canvas and see what you can see from it. It's like when 5 people look up at the clouds in the sky. They could see 5 different things in those clouds. You've got to look at your painting and pull out and enhance what you are seeing in it. Sometimes that may mean covering up other parts so that the focus can stand out more. She takes you through that process so that you can find your authentic voice in your painting. One of the last sections in her book is called Know When to Stop. That's no small thing. I know I've made paintings that have so many layers on them that I wish I could price it by the pound. But as I've gotten more experienced, that intuitive voice has come to me and I've learned when to stop. Like Jody Ohl, Flora Boley also teaches live classes about her techniques. I'll put links to their websites so you can see if there is a class you might want to take. But check out their books too, because they're really full of so much good advice. More than one artist that I've interviewed told me that their artistic journey began with art journaling. Art journaling is so much more than putting words on a page, as it includes painting and drawing and papers and 3D embellishments. Art journaling can be done just for you. It can be quick to do a page, it can be easy, or you can use it to try new techniques. You can share your pages in social media, or you can use them as a starting point toward creating a class. Everything is allowed, and you can pick the book or the paper and whatever you put on it. So I definitely want to include one art journaling book here. I like Journal Fodder 365, Daily Doses of Inspiration for the Art Addict, by Eric M. Scott and David R. Modler. What a title, right? I feel like the title is appropriate because this book includes a little bit of everything. They talk about writing techniques, writing prompts, lines and shapes and marks. Every couple of pages, they'll have what they call Anatomy of a Journal Spread, where they break down each element on a sample page and explain how it was made. That's great because I always look at a finished piece of art and think, how did they do that? Or what's actually done here? They tell you, and they give you so many different examples of different materials to use or add to it, like painting with string, cutting out parts of the page, using symbols, and adding creative lettering. And the last book I'll tell you about is called Art Journal Courage by Dina Wakely. Again, there's a variation on the word brave. Dina gives you so many techniques to try. I'm sure you'll find something you like. And again, you don't have to show anyone your art journaling. It can just be for you. Just take that word courage out of the equation. Dina teaches classes all over the United States, and I took a class from her at my local scrapbook store. The class was How to Paint Faces. Since I've thought of myself as someone who sticks to abstracts and can't draw a figure, I thought, well, I'll try this and see if I can make a breakthrough. Well, I did. She gives you easy steps on how to draw a face, then paint it, and put in the shading. All this is described in this book. She also gives a lot of background techniques you can do before you make the face or other focal point. She uses paints, stencils, crayons, pencils, pens, and inks. She puts down torn papers, scribbling, and lettering. And in the class, she encourages you to practice a lot. What stuck with me was her challenging us to paint 100 faces. Of course, you won't be good at it after your first or after your 10th, but you really get better at it the more you do. And with all the techniques she offers in this book, you can easily art journal an entire book. I'm going to add one more book to recommend. I like to make handmade books. Some have stitched spines, some are just folded or glued. I once took a bookmaking class, and the lessons we did were based on the projects found in Alyssa Golden's Making Handmade Books. She doesn't leave anything out in her instructions. She explains many ways to bind books, how to make pop-up books and other books that move, and how to make boxes. I include this book recommendation here because with all the painting and art journaling techniques you might try, you can take your pages and bind them into a little book. Why not give yourself a challenge of doing a small painting on paper every day for 30 days, or to paint 30 pages of backgrounds? Then bind them together in a nice way so they're all together. There must be thousands of ways to make handmade books. I think every artist should have a couple of ways in their repertoire. So that's my recommendations for books today. I hope there's a few of you out there who still read real books, not just ones on a tablet. There's nothing like having a few on a shelf and just scanning the titles for inspiration and then randomly choosing a page to try. I'll put photos of the books I've discussed in my show notes for this episode, and I'll recommend a few more to try. Do you have any favorite artist books? Let me know in the comments, and I'll add them to the list. Do you think you could write a book about your art and techniques? Well, be sure and listen to my episode 35, where I talk with Tanya Jenny, who has spent years helping artists create their books. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Left Brain Artist. As always, if you like what you're hearing, leave me a review on iTunes. If you subscribe to this podcast, you'll get each episode downloaded free every week. This podcast is created and produced by me. The music I use is from Squire Tuck. You can find a list and link to all my podcast episodes on my website, SuzanneRedman.com. I also include show notes on the website for every episode. Artist interviews come out every Wednesday, and I post photos of the artwork of every artist I've interviewed, as well as links to their websites. I'm Suzanne Redman. See you next time.